Well, good morning, Westwood family. It's great to see you today. My name is Ben, Pastor Ben Griffin, and before we dive in to this Tov message, I just want to spend a minute in prayer with you, so would you join me? Lord, I don't know what's going on in all of our lives, but I know one thing that is a constant for all of us. We need you. We need your spirit, we need your movement, we need a reminder of your grace, your truth, and we need your Tov to intervene and speak into the broken parts of our hearts and lives. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that by the power of your spirit, by the presence of you, that you would speak in this time, speak through your word, bring glory and honor to yourself, and Lord, speak to our deepest needs. Jesus, Holy Spirit, God our Father, I pray that you would be present in this time in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, it is an honor to get to speak in week two of the Tov series. If you were here last week, Pastor Joel kicked off this series and dove in. It's really such a beautiful word, Tov, and such a beautiful series. I highly recommend, if you have not gotten a chance to hear that week one message, to go back and take a listen to it. Tov is the Hebrew word that means good or goodness, and man, it is such a deep word, layer upon layer upon layer. And today we're going to just peel back one more layer looking at that. So a little bit of context, especially if you're coming in fresh or don't remember everything from last week. One of the things that Pastor Joel asked us was this question. Is, do you believe God is at work every day in your life? Do you believe God is at work doing good every day in your life? And then to help open our eyes to see that, we were given Tov journals. And so if you don't have one of these, you can stop by and pick one up on the way out. If you're online, you can stop in one of the campuses and pick one up. But this journal is for us to spend every day just kind of think through, pray through, reflect, and write down, like, where did I see the Tov, the goodness of God? And I know we're not all journalers. Amen to that. And so some of us are like, that's just not my thing. But I'll tell you a testimony from a few people that we've heard of those who just like, you know what, I'm not a journaler, but I'm just going to write a word or a sentence that captures what I saw of God working today. And just even that little practice, that keystone habit, shifting perspective and seeing more and more of the goodness of God on a daily basis. Because he is breaking into the brokenness of our world. His goodness is evident. It always is. And sometimes we just need a little bit of time to reflect and remember and see that. Now, I don't know if you noticed this today, but it's cold outside. Yeah, when I got up to leave this morning, it was negative 12, negative 21 wind chill. And my wife actually, she came to the earlier service. She said the garage door wouldn't even open. It was so cold when it was her time to leave. Somehow I got it open and she got stuck. But with this cold, this last week, I'll say things like, we'll go outside and I'll say something like, man, it feels like 1,000 knives are striking my face right now. It feels like death. And my wife is determined to not complain, but let's talk about this positively. So I'll say, it is death. And she'll say, you know, isn't this crisp and invigorating? And I know she feels it, but she's flipping it around to see the good, even in the hardship. And when we take time to journal, we see that even in the worst of the worst, the coldest of the coldest moments, God's goodness is evident and always there. And hey, y'all, let's be honest. We have a reason, even in this Arctic cold, to thank God. We're sitting inside, you're sitting inside if you're online or at home, and we're in these warm, furnace-filled, heated rooms. Like later today, you're going to be standing by your window with a cup of hot something, flip on the fire, looking out while you're standing in your socks and go, I can't believe how cold it is out there. Instead of, I can't believe I'm in my socks and it's negative 20 degrees. See how there's always a reason to find goodness, even in the hardness. And when we have our eyes tuned to the goodness of God, we'll see him at work and the goodness of God even in the hardest moments. So I highly encourage you to begin that keystone habit if you haven't, and continue it if you have, to have your eyes attuned to the Lord. And I believe the phrase used is see it, receive it, record it, and share it. So let's do that. Now today, as we continue in this series, adding some layers to Tov, we're going to talk about being a Tov church. And specifically what we're going to talk about is what it means for us to live out Tov. So receive Tov from God and live it out in our daily lives. And just to add a little bit to today's message, we get to have a soundtrack with today's message. And so Jimmy is going to start laying down some music. It's going to go all the way through, but we're going to start by kind of musically engaging into the service together, which I've never had a soundtrack to a message before, so this is really kind of fun for me. Setting the mood right now. But let me give you a definition of Tov from God's, or definition of church. Church is both a place to go and the people of God. So it's being here together, and it's also being the people of God together. I'm doing some work strategically with a church where their mission is to make church about God, which is pretty cool. Now they're adding a layer to their mission of make life about God. And it's amazing how often our lives will say, yes, Jesus is the most important thing, but in the moment, we don't always live like he's the most important one. So we want to make life about God. This is what it is to be the church, to live it out. And then the definition of Tov, as we're adding layers to it today, from God's perspective, God's Tov is perfect in its purpose, beauty, functionality, and harmony. I'm going to say that again. God's Tov, perfect in purpose, beauty, functionality, and harmony. So with that, I want to take us back to when God created everything before the fall, before what we know is broken, the broken world we live in, to when it was perfect and perfectly created. And at the end of each piece of creation, God said this phrase, I think we all know it, and it is good. It is Tov, perfect, functionally perfect. And so as God created the world, he formed the earth, and he put the stars in the sky, and you can maybe feel this musically as he's laying down a layer here of just this perfect creation. Awesome and wondrous. Like, we live in the broken version. I mean, have you ever been to the mountains and looked at the stars and just been in awe? I mean, imagine what the perfect version was like. And God created it, and he looked at it, and he said, it is Tov, good. And then, like, we've got perfect creation, but in that perfect creation, God then created humans, and he made Adam. And actually, before he said Adam, mankind was good, he actually, before the fall, he said, and this is not Tov. It is not Tov for man to be alone. So he made Eve, and what we know is that Tov is, they were a community together. So God made perfect Tov creation and then perfect Tov community, people together in harmony. So we've got the layer of creation, got the layer of relationship with each other. And this is a part of creation that we often miss in the perfect place of Eden and paradise, is that we also had a perfect relationship with God Almighty. And that's the third layer, that God walked with them in the garden, that they were not ashamed of their nakedness before him, that they were able to be in his presence and fellowship with him deeply in a way that, man, in our broken place, we can't even imagine. So just hear this, like these layers of creation is perfect and relationships with each other are perfect, and relationship with God is perfect and Tov. And just feel that musically. It's all in harmony. It's all functioning as God designed it. It's freeing, fun, life-giving. But then we know that the serpent came and tempted Adam and Eve, and they took of the fruit, and the fall came, And things went from perfect to dissonant. And we can you just feel that even musically? Like it just isn't. It's just off. And we're in this broken place. And I want to show you something about what Satan did when he tempted them. He specifically attempted those areas of harmony. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say? What is he doing? He's interjecting into this perfect harmonious relationship with God and creating disharmony. And then we know they took of the fruit. We know that brokenness came. And then we'll jump ahead a little bit. Look what happens next. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from him. Broken relationship with God. And they hid among the trees of the garden, but the Lord God called to them, where are you? And then he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? And then the man said, God's asking whose fault it is. And he says, the woman who you put here with me, she gave me some of that to eat. So here we have broken relationship with God. And now we see on evidence the broken relationship with each other. And immediately Adam goes into the blame game. It's not my fault. It's her fault. And it's yours, God. You're the one that gave her to me. And aren't we today still playing the same blame game as was happening all the way back then? That broken tove evidence in all of us. I mean, we're constantly blaming, constantly hiding. When I was a kid, I had a really bad habit of carving my name into things. And literally one time I took a rock and carved my name into the side of the car. I know. It's bad. It's very bad. In fact, it was so bad, they busted me, obviously. And I said, how did you know I did it? It's like, it was your name. So then I thought, I'm going to get smart. And I started carving my brother's name everywhere. And his name is Adam. So I'm like, Adam, Adam, Adam. And they busted me. And I'm like, how did you know? They're like, your brother is a baby. He cannot write yet. But that's, aren't we all playing that blame game right now? I mean, I know when you all go out to your car, you're going to first think how crisp and invigorating this day is. And then you're going to check your car and see if my name's written on it. And I'm just going to tell you, it's not. It's going to say Pastor Joel right on the side. I came up with that between services. I was pretty proud of that one. Thank you. That's because of you guys. Thank you. And then I lost my track completely. All right, so the blame game, we're all blaming. And we've been blaming ever since that day. And we've gotten so good at it. I mean, as kids, I wasn't very good at it. But I've gotten so good at it now, and maybe you have too. I'm so good at blaming others that I have deceived even myself. That I'm so good at thinking it's everybody else's fault that I've convinced myself in so many instances, it's everybody else's fault, it's not me. Haven't we done the same? And that broken tove, that broken place is where we're at. And by the way, Jimmy, I think, is going to do some soundtrack through the message. So don't be afraid to do that, Jimmy, if you want, as we go. But just to keep that understanding that, man, we are broken people with a broken relationship with each other, broken relationship with God, and a broken relationship with creation. The creation itself is broken. The New Testament tells us the creation itself is crying out. It cannot wait for the redemption of all things. Like, it's all broken. Even in our relationships, Dr. Martin Luther King said this. He says, we have learned to fly the air like birds, swim the sea like fish, but we have not learned the simplest art of living together as brothers. Man, we can fly through the air, we can swim through the ocean, but we can't do the simplest thing of actually treat each other as equals. That we still wrestle with this in so many ways today, that brokenness is evident everywhere. And I just praise God that he did not leave us in that broken place. Can you say amen to that with me? Praise God. In that moment of brokenness, in Genesis, we get what's called the proto-evangelion, which is a fancy word to say the first good news, the first tov news. And this is where it is, Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. What is this? This is a promise that the offspring of Eve will crush the head of the serpent, will bring hope again. And you have to imagine, the first time that Adam and Eve had a child, they must have been like, this is it! This is the hope of the world! And wasn't yet, was yet to come down the road. But this was the first promise. And then this just amazes me. Go to the next Genesis passage here. And then Adam, after all this, after he's blamed Eve, after the fall, after death is introduced into the scenario, broken Tov, after all of this, up to this point, Eve does not have a name. She's just known as the woman. At this point, Adam named his wife Eve because she would be the mother of all the living. And Eve, Chava, is what it, how it's said in Hebrew, means life. I love this because at this point, Adam could have named his wife Bringer of Death. Hey, I'd like to introduce you to my wife, the Bringer of Death. Instead, he clung onto the promise that God would intervene in what is broken and bring hope and from her offspring. And so he said, this is my wife, Chava, the Bringer of Life. And God intervened into the brokenness with hope. And here, this is hope for all of us. Jesus is the answer to what is broken in the world and in us. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is the answer to what is broken in the world and in us. You see, I could give all sorts of evidences of the broken Tov way that our world is in. I mean, you could look anywhere and talk about all the broken aspects. But I think one of the best evidences is just the general discontent of the human heart. Or would you agree? Like the general discontentment of our own hearts is just such evidence that we are in need of some intervention, some help. And I'm telling you, however that brokenness is played out in your life, Jesus is the answer to that brokenness for all of us. And I thank God that he did not leave us in that broken place, but he gave us hope. And so now, knowing this, we get to be a holy people, a holy army, bringing the goodness of God to a world that desperately needs intervention into broken Tov. And sometimes I feel like we get the idea that like it's the professional church people's job to do this. Like, hey, you're a good singer. Hey, you're a good speaker. Your job is to lead or to coordinate. But please hear me. As followers of Jesus, it's our job and our privilege to get to echo the Tov of God to a world that desperately needs it. Now, no one is called to do everything, but everybody's called to do something. Everyone is called to do something. And I'm gonna turn to Micah 6, verse 8, to say here, what is God calling us to? It says, God has shown you, O mortal, what is good, Tov. And what does the Lord require of you? By the way, here's just perspective, context. In the book of Micah, this is speaking to a very religious people. He's saying to them, you do all the religious things, but your hearts are a million miles from me. So he's talking to church people who go to church every week, and he's saying, that's not what I require of you, is just empty service. What I want from you is to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I want your heart. And when your heart is caught up in me, you cannot help but move out in action. Hey, I love my wife. And because I love my wife, I find myself doing acts of showing love to her in ways that I never imagined I would do. When we were engaged, I made her a scrapbook. That is not me. I was cutting things out, making little stickers, Winnie the Pooh. I'm like, I look at that thing now and I'm like, I made that? I was just so enamored. I made a scrapbook. Now, like for a couple of Christmases, I love my wife so much, I want to serve her needs. So I study like what speaks love to her. And nothing speaks love to my wife like a good cup of coffee. So I spent years in Christmases just trying to perfect the perfect cup of coffee. And I think I finally got it. And then this year, I decided, well, what else does she love? Boy, she loves a good night's sleep. So now the gift I'm trying to give her is the perfect night's sleep. Unfortunately, sometimes that means I got to have a little distance from her. But I love her, and it plays out in action. And our love for God and his intervening in us, bringing Tov into brokenness, we should be responding with, Lord, how can I serve you? Because it's the natural overflow of feeling loved and then showing love. And the answer to that, how do we do that? Act justly, love mercy. Oh, stay there. Yep, we're going to keep it for a while. And walk humbly with your God. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. So let's talk about those three things. What does it mean to act justly? What does it mean to love mercy? And what does it mean to walk humbly with your God? Act justly, literally just translated, is do just things. Be righteous. Be good. Where you see injustice, stand up and do something about it. So this is a great weekend to talk about this. This is MLK weekend. So we think about the injustices and inequalities of how people treat each other. This is Sanctity of Life weekend. We think about the sanctity of life from conception on, and those that are the most helpless, and how do we care for them? And where there is injustice, man, how can we bring Tov to broken people in broken places? You know that, and I don't know if you've heard this stat before, but the foster care system, if every church in Minnesota just had one family in their church that adopted a child from the foster care system, and then that whole church came around and supported that family, there would be zero kids left in the foster care system. Isn't that something? If every church just had one family that would adopt one child and the church came alongside them, we'd change the world. And again, nobody's called to do everything, but everybody is called to do something. Do you know what your something is? I mean, we're called to act justly, to bring justice to the broken world. And man, for many of us, I've just witnessed this. Sometimes our ministry actually comes out of our misery. Sometimes the people that, if you were hurt and wounded as a child, maybe your job is to be a shield for others so that they aren't hurt and wounded as a child. If you went through the darkest nights of addiction and hardship, maybe your job is to go back. I live in a nonprofit world where that's what we do. Work with a former stripper who's going into strip clubs to bring the good news of Jesus. Former gang members who are going to the street and saying, hey, there's a better way, and we're here to help you. And I don't know what your story is, but I'll tell you this. God can work through your testimony to do good. I think back for me, and maybe this is more of a broad application, but when I was a kid in junior high, I remember like there was a pecking order of popularity. And I remember specifically thinking, if I want to be more popular, it seems the way to do that is to push other people down. And I don't know if that's changed as we got older, but I remember as a child, there was this one kid who he had the shaved head because he had cancer. And I remember joining in with others and just saying the most horrible things to him. And I remember thinking, I'm doing this because I got to push him down to push myself up. And afterwards, even now, it just makes me feel sick to even think about it. But that's what the world tells us, right? If you want to be somebody, push others down. The way of Jesus is the exact opposite. I sacrifice myself even to the point of death to help and serve others. That's Jesus' intervention. That's the gospel, as he laid it all down to intervene in broken Tov and bring Tov goodness again. So I want to ask you again, what is the injustice that God is calling you to be a part of? Because I'll tell you, there's a holy army just in this church alone that could make a significant difference in this city, in this county, in this community, if we just stepped up and said, Lord, out of your love for me, I want to be an agent of tov to those around me, to act justly. Secondly, to love mercy. Love mercy. This is probably the hardest one, because we all get, okay, there's something unjust, I'll stand up for a cause. The word for love mercy, the Hebrew word hesed, it literally means a kindness that's the overflow of love. And maybe that doesn't sound very hard, but that's probably because you're thinking of people that you love. But this is talking about loving mercy even to those that aren't loving towards you. And that's challenging. But you want to echo out tov to broken tov world? It's to show grace when grace isn't shown to you. It's to respond with kindness and love even though people are treating you poorly. I have a friend. His name's Bill. He came to faith as an adult, and he tells a story about when he was in college. He was a sold-out atheist, and there was a class that he was in with a guy that he knew that man to be a follower of Jesus, a Christian, and he antagonized that guy every chance he got. He just attacked him, and he said that no matter what he did and what he said and how hard he antagonized, this guy always responded with kindness. He's like, it was so frustrating. But he said as he reflected back on that, he realized there's something about that guy and his faith that was way more genuine than what he was experiencing in his life. And that began the road that brought Bill to know Jesus and now changed his entire eternal future. And you know what's crazy? That man in college, he said, I have no way, I have no idea where to even find him. I don't even remember his full name to be able to tell him, because of the way that you responded when I antagonized you, I'm now a follower of Jesus. Isn't that incredible? That's to act justly, to love mercy, and then third, to walk humbly with your God. And if you're trying to act justly and love mercy without the third part, you're just running on your own steam. And I'm telling you, you'll do some nice things, but you're gonna burn out very fast. The key is daily, consistent, humble walk with the Lord. Lord, your will, not mine. Lord, all for you, not me. Lord, I trust you and I surrender it all to you. And out of that, the New Testament tells us, he even creates good works for us to do. Like, my goal here today is to help ignite a holy army here. And I'll say it again. Nobody here is called to do everything, but everybody's called to do something. Do you know what your something is? Do you? Maybe it's out of your misery into your ministry. Maybe it's out of, I don't know what he's called you to, but I know he has called you to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. And then bring it all together. Revelation 21:5. So we go from Genesis, God created. Then in the middle, we're in this broken place, but we get to be a part of bringing tov. God has brought good news. Jesus is the hope. We get to be a part of living that out, of making right what's broken. And then in Revelation 21:5, it's Jesus speaking here. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And the word there in Greek literally is renewed, recreated. So we started in a place where it was perfect tov. We live in broken tov, but God has intervened, and we get to be a part of echoing that out. But our hope for the future is that he will make new again what is broken. So our relationship with each other, it actually says creation itself, there will be a new heaven and a new earth recreated. It says our relationship with each other will be perfected back to its purpose and functionality. And then thirdly, our relationship with God healed again. If you think at the beginning in Genesis 1, God walked with him in the garden. You know what it says in Revelation? God walks with us in heaven. And so I don't know the depth of broken tov that you have experienced and are experiencing. I know we all do. But I know our hope is in Jesus. And I know walking humbly with him leads us to love mercy and act justly. And I pray that he would ignite us, his holy army, to be to be agents of Tov in a world that desperately needs the life-giving truth of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Jesus, would you remind us that even though we're in the place of dissonance, that your voice has not left us, that your promises are true, that they are an underlying current that are here now, that are breaking into the darkest parts, that, Lord, would you open our eyes to see it, receive it, record it, share it. Would you, Lord, make whole in us what is broken, and in turn, help us make whole in others what is broken through your good work, Jesus. I pray this all in your name and for your glory alone. Amen.